who I want to speak to. Mike is speaking on the 18th and he can't get. Can you fill in? So I said, yeah, okay, fair enough. I'm going to tell you a little joke before I start. I think Cyril might get this one. Sylvia didn't this morning. The pastor of a Baptist church decides that God was calling the church to a new vision of what it should be and do. So at the members' meeting, he presented the new vision with as much energy, conviction, and passion as he could muster. When he had finished and sat down, the chairman of the meeting called for a vote. All 19 members voted against the new vision, with only the pastor voting for it. Well, it looks like you will have to think again, the chairman said to the pastor. Would you like to close the meeting in prayer? So the pastor stood up, raised his hands to heaven and prayed, Lord, will you not show these people that this is not my vision, but yours? At that moment, the clouds darkened, thunder rolled, and a bolt of lightning burst through the window and struck into the table at which they were sitting, throwing everyone to the ground. After a moment's silence, as they got up and dusted themselves down, the chairman said, well, that's 19 votes to 2 then. My message this morning is called What an Awesome God We Serve. And in the prayer meeting this morning, Cyril walked in. Within 30 seconds, Cyril mentioned the word awesome twice. So if I ever needed any confirmation, I've got it. I'm just going to give you a few instances of, out of the Word of God, what an awesome God we share, and then give you a few instances of my personal experiences about this awesome God. But I'm going to start off in Exodus. As you know, the Israelites had been in captivity in Egypt for a while, and God brought them out after, well, Moses went to Pharaoh several times and several things happened, as you all know the story. But Moses, as they were leaving, the Pharaoh changed his mind, as you know, and he decided that he wasn't going to let them go. And I'm reading from Exodus 14. It says, then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of the fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites, the Egyptians shouted. The Lord is fighting for them. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again, and the waters rushed back and covered the Egyptians, their chariots and chariots. So the sun began to rise. Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord destroyed them all. How awesome is that? Can you imagine what these Israelites saw this, and then a few months later, they were building a calf at and worshipping. There's no wonder the Lord said they were stiff-necked people, these Egyptians, Israelites, is there? Anyway, I'm going to go on a little bit farther. I'm going to go into Daniel. You all know the stories. We all heard these stories when we were at Sunday school, those of us who went to Sunday school. Wait a Lewis. You've got the page in there. You all know the story of Nebuchadnezzar. I think we can say that Nebuchadnezzar represents the devil in this instance. But he raised this great big statue up and he wanted everybody to bow down to it at a certain time of day. And Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego said, "We're not bowing down to that." I think if I'd have been there, I'd have probably said, "Well, I don't really mean it, but while nobody's looking." Anyway, you know the story. They were chucked into this furnace that was that hot that the people that chucked them in got burnt to death. And then all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar said, "How many people have we put in that furnace?" "Three." "They're falling. And there's one walking about, looks like the Son of God." And who was it? It was Jesus. How awesome is this God of ours that three men can be thrown into a furnace and a bit later on they come out and not even the hairs on their head have been singed. I know Janet's just mentioned faith, and we need a lot of things sometimes because, I'm preaching to myself this morning because I'm very short on faith, I am. But a few weeks ago, I had cause to go to the doctors because I had this big lump thing come on my arm. It was like a big warty thing. And I went to see the doctor and she took one look at it and she says, "Well, that's a big wart, but it's nothing to worry about. I'm more concerned about this thing on your face," which she noticed. And you all know that it's turned out to be a skin cancer and I'm waiting to go in to have it operated on. But last week I said, "Lord, do I really, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, heal this lump on my arm and this on my face?" Would you believe, the next morning I got up and this lump had fell off my arm. All there was a big scab, right, Sylvia? As we went out the other day in the car, the scab dropped off and it's completely healed. No lump, no nothing. That isn't. Don't ask me why. And we all know that certain people get healed and certain people don't. We don't know why. I mean, is it lack of faith? We just don't know. But it's definitely healed that, but not that. You've all heard of Smith Wigglesworth, I suppose. And Smith Wigglesworth, who was a mighty man of God, once said, "I never pray for more than 15 minutes. But I never go more than 15 minutes without praying." During his 50s, Smith Wigglesworth lost all his teeth. And he didn't fancy having false ones. This is a true story. And he got down one day and he said, "Lord, you can do anything. I believe you can give me a new set of teeth." Would you believe that he grew a third set of teeth? True story. Wow. What this God that we serve, we restrict him. I'm preaching to myself here. We restrict him so much. But I mean, how many times do you pray and you say, "I'll believe it when I see it"? I do anyway. Anyway, I'm going to give you some more instances here. And I'm coming into the New Testament now because there was a Roman officer came and pleaded with Jesus. He said, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers, and I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believed it, and it has happened. And the young servant was healed from that very minute. Wow. What are we talking about here? This God of ours, nothing is absolutely impossible. And I've said, don't ask me why some people get healed and some don't. I don't know. I just don't know. There was a woman in the Bible, in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, who had been bleeding for 12 years. And she spent all her money with physicians and what have you, trying to find a cure. Nothing worked. But the faith that this woman had, she didn't go to Jesus and say, Jesus, will you pray for me? She thought that if she could just touch him, even his clothes, she would be healed. And you all know the story of what happened. Great big crowd was thronging around Jesus. And she managed to touch the hem of his cloak. And Jesus said, who's touched me? And the disciples said, how do you mean who's touched you? He said, no, power has gone from me. And the woman admitted that it was her. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And from that very moment, the bleeding stopped. What an awesome God. Sylvia don't like me talking about here when I'm up here, but Sylvia once wanted a duvet in the 1970s, and she prayed for one. 3 days later, she found one in a car park. True, Sylvia? Brand new duvet. And you all know my story. I mean, you've all heard it so many times. I mean, I had a shadow on my lung, no question about it. But Dorothy Bates prayed for me one Sunday morning, and I'll never, ever forget the words. And I'm sorry if I'm repeating it, but it bears repeating time after time after time. Dorothy Bates said, where there is a shadow, there has to be a light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. She put her hands on me. And I was healed instantly, because the letter that came back from the hospital when I went for that scan said, for a man who has worked down the pit on the coal face, has been a heavy smoker nearly all his life, his lungs are in a remarkable condition. How many of you know that when Jesus does a job, he does it properly? Amen. And I'm going to say it again as well. 30 years, it's over 30 years ago, in 1985, when I'd only given my heart to the Lord 6 months before, in a meeting in Chrysler Street, this lady had been told the week before she had 6 months to live with stomach cancer. God said to me, I am going to heal her tonight. The outcome of the story was that she was got to the front, Don Bates and I prayed for her. That was in 1985, she'd got 6 months to live. She's still alive today. Amen. What a saviour have we got? I can't get my head around it sometimes. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. Friends, is there anybody that needs prayer this morning after I've finished? Come out to the front. I can't say you're going to be healed, because some people get healed and some don't. But if you've got the faith to believe that Jesus is able to do more than you ever think he could, then after I've finished, please come out if anybody's got any needs whatsoever. The last thing I'm going to say is that, as Cyril said this morning, God answers prayers, but sometimes he doesn't answer them in the way that we think he should. There was a man in Jesus, well, after Jesus had done the deed on the cross, there was a man called Saul who was hell-bent on destroying all these new Christians. Acts 8. And you couldn't have thought that God would have used somebody like that. I mean, anyway, Paul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill everybody that followed Jesus. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way. He wanted to bring them back, both men and women, to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on their mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you?" Saul asked. The voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." You know the story. He was struck blind. He went in where Jesus told him. A few days later, he received his sight. But most of this New Testament was written by that very man. In fact, he wrote 9 or 10 letters to various people. And most of this New Testament was written by that man. Would you have thought that Jesus would have wanted to have used somebody like that? Friends, when we pray to Jesus, and I'm speaking to myself now, let's have the faith to believe that Jesus can do what we ask him to do. And sometimes when he does answer, and it's not in the way that you expect him to, just say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." I'm just going to close with another little story. A couple lived in Canada in the winter, and it was very, very cold. In fact, it was minus 20. And they decided to go to Florida for a few days' holiday. But she couldn't get till the next day. So he went down to Florida, checked in, and he was writing her an email. And he got the email address wrong by one little dot. And instead of his email going to her, it went to the wife of a pastor who had died the day before. The pastor had died the day before. And the lady was in the house with her children, and they were making arrangements for the funeral. And she said, "I'll just go and check my emails." And she went into the other room, and the children heard a terrific scream, and they came in, and the woman was lying unconscious on the floor. And there on the screen it said, "Arrived safely, checked in, everything's ready for your arrival tomorrow. P.S. It ain't half hot down here."